Support for this public radio podcast comes from Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Society for Human Resource Management, HR, leading people, leading organizations. Online at shrm.org.
A Dance of the Bulls on Wall Street.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Everyone just knew the Federal Reserve wasn't going to adjust interest rates yesterday. But a subtle suggestion that maybe interest rates might be cut later this year sent investors into a party mode. One example, the Dow had its biggest one-day gain this year. Let's see where things ended yesterday. The Dow soared 159 points to 12,447. The Nasdaq leapt 47 points to 2455. And the S&P climbed 24 points. It's at 1435. And just so you know, the Fed action yesterday boosted Asian stocks this morning. In Tokyo, the Nikkei flew up 256 points. The European Commission has accused Boeing of receiving lavish subsidies, violating the World Trade Organization rules. This is the latest salvo in a long-running battle between the EU and U.S. over state aid for aircraft manufacturing. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
The EU says that by the year 2024, Boeing will have received a total of $23 billion in subsidies. Part of this aid, says the EU, is in the form of U.S. federal research spending by NASA and the Defense Department. The EU also says that Boeing has been given numerous tax breaks over the years. But the US argues that Airbus has in effect received $100 billion worth of state aid. Kevin Doan of the Financial Times.
The two sides of the Atlantic have different ways of helping to fund their aerospace industries. I don't think anybody's any doubt that money does come from the state to the aerospace industries, but it comes in different forms.
If the WTO finds both companies guilty of breaking the rules, both companies could suffer huge penalties. Analysts expect the two sides eventually to settle their dispute themselves. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Almost a year ago, Dubai Ports World proposed taking over the operations of six American ports. It was rejected due to concerns over security. Now a German company, Deutsche Bank, plans to take over a major ocean cargo handler in the New York area. Will this deal face the same scrutiny? Elisa Roth reports.
Like the failed Dubai Ports deal, the Deutsche Bank MARA agreement will have to be approved by CFIUS, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States. CFIUS looks at how foreign investments might affect the U.S., especially security issues. Last year, the committee reportedly reviewed 70% more deals than it did the year before, and CFIUS is looking harder at those deals.
The practice has also been evolving. They're asking for much more information. They're asking for it sooner. They're asking for pre-notification.
Ron Olenek is an international trade lawyer. His firm represents MAR Terminals, but he was not involved in this transaction. Most people say the German acquisition represents little security risk, and the deal will likely be approved. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Introducing ThriveQ, an online tool that helps you know where you stand on your path to retirement. More at ThriveQ.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com.
Growth doesn't always mean prosperity. Take India. That nation is growing at over 9% a year, but basic conditions for many of its citizens are substandard. For example, almost half of Indian children under the age of 3 are malnourished, and only 10% of the population has insurance. The problem is so serious, some groups have decided to take the problem into their own hands. Miranda Kennedy explains in this report.
Sonia Kohli is squatting on the concrete floor with a few friends. They're members of the Self-Employed Women's Association, or SEWA, an economic support group for poor women. Sonia works as a tailor in this slum village outside Delhi. She and her husband together earn less than a dollar a day. Today, she's trying to explain to her friends why she spends her precious income on health insurance.
Life is so uncertain, and especially when you're living in the slums, there is disease, and it's a very, very good plan because it just means that we can breathe a little bit easier.
Insurance is an alien concept in India, especially among the poor. But Sonia only pays about $7 a year to insure her whole family. They each get life and asset insurance and up to $45 in hospital expenses. That doesn't sound like much, but it made things a lot easier when Sonia's father had a heart attack a couple years back. She brought him to the Guru Tej Bahadur Hospital near her house. It's a massive government-run facility. Patients lie on sagging cots and medical waste is piled up in the hallways. The insurance money goes a lot further at subsidized hospitals like this one. Rebecca Black, an economist with the U.S. government's aid program, says before microinsurance programs started, costs prevented millions of Indians from seeking health care.
People make a lot of decisions about what they can afford to pay, so a lot of people are not getting the kind of health care. Now it's become more of a focus, but this is all in the last 3 years that they've really started.
The Indian government now requires all Indian insurance companies to deliver 20% of their plans to rural and low-income patients. In the last 2 years, about 7.5 million people have signed up for the microinsurance plans. Of course, that's still just a fraction of India's population of 1.1 billion. Bindu Pal, who works with Sewa, hopes that microinsurance will gradually bring about a cultural shift for women.
They just don't care about their own health. And so we explain to them that if you fall sick, who will look after your children, who will look after the house? So that's how we make them aware of how important their health is in the scheme of things.
Microinsurance actually only covers emergency care, so Pal admits that insured women aren't more likely to have regular checkups. Indian insurance companies haven't yet bought into the idea that if they cover preventative care, they'll save on claims in the long run. But that may change. To their surprise, many firms are finding that they turn a profit when they insure the poor. In New Delhi, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.